So next on the schedule, we have an introduction to hearing aids and their users. Tony Schwartz is going to be leading this discussion. Tony has a long bio. I'm going to jump through. I n know many of us know Tony, but let's give a little bit of info. Tony Schwartz is a 1977 graduate of Moravian College and a 1983 graduate of the University of Pennsylvania Computer Science Program for the Disabled. He worked in the field of services for the blind from 1977 through 1982, and from 1983 through 2009 was employed by the County of Lehigh Valley Office of Computer Science. He retired from his position as systems project leader, having directed a group of computer analysts in the design of human services, nursing home, fiscal, and human resource software. In 2010, he established a voiceover business, Versatile Voicing, to produce audio instructional materials and commercials. Presently, he is an audio description narrator for International Digital Center and Descriptive Video Services. Tony is the founder and former president, I believe, of former Lehigh Valley's reading service for the print impaired. We all know Tony served as former president of PCB and Lehigh Valley's Council of the Blind, and he is currently the vice president of Lehigh Valley's Independent Living Center, and he is married and the father of three adult children. So, Tony, floor is yours. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. We're now going to talk about mild to moderate hearing loss and hearing aids as a tool to combat that hearing loss. And what I'd like you to understand is that we're going to talk about hearing aids not as a tool used only by those who may have a profound hearing loss, but a tool that many of us should probably be considering. Why? Well, this may shock you when I tell you that we're all getting older. Even the youngest among us is getting older, and that means that our ears, and in fact our entire hearing apparatus, is getting older and wearing out. The loss of some degree of hearing in our population is more substantial than you might think. Here are some statistics for us to consider. The National Center for Health Statistics has estimated that 37 million Americans have lost some degree of hearing. According to the National Academy of Sciences, hearing loss is, worldwide, the fifth leading cause of years lived with disability. The World Health Organization has estimated that by the year 2050, there will be 1 billion people with a disabling hearing loss. And most importantly to many of us in PCB is that, by several scientifically based estimates, two-thirds of Americans who are 70 or older have lost hearing. Now really, it does go without saying, to those of us with any degree of vision loss, how vital our sense of hearing is to the functioning of our daily lives, from mobility and orientation to every level of communication. We depend mightily on our hearing. But there are other factors to consider. Any kind of hearing loss can cause or contribute to our social isolation and cognitive decline. To eliminate the point, you know that Helen Keller lived with both blindness and deafness. At the age of 20, she wrote in a letter to a friend, "The problems of deafness are deeper and more complex, if not more important, than those of blindness. Deafness is a much worse misfortune, for it means the loss of the most vital stimulus, the sound of the voice that brings language, sets thoughts astir, and keeps us in the intellectual company of men. Hearing is the soul of knowledge and information of the highest order. To be cut off from hearing is to be isolated indeed." For mild to moderate hearing loss, to date, the most effective remedy is through amplification, and for our purposes, we're talking about hearing aids. Now, in just a bit, we'll hear from three PCB peers who've recently begun using hearing aids and have agreed to share with us their life experiences with hearing loss and their decision to begin using hearing aids. But first, let's consider how can mild to moderate hearing loss affect our daily lives specifically. First, communication challenges, difficulty in understanding speech. If we're experiencing mild hearing loss, we start to find it more difficult to engage in conversations, particularly in noisy environments, and we end up asking people to repeat themselves frequently. Or, what's worse, we disengage from the conversation or we pretend that we've heard what the other person has said. Another effect of hearing loss is that over a period of time of living with hearing loss, we can experience reduced cognitive function. Research has shown a strong correlation between age-related hearing loss and cognitive decline, including conditions like dementia and Alzheimer's disease. This is because the cognitive load of straining to hear and process speech can overtax the brain, potentially contributing to cognitive decline. Another effect of hearing loss? Falls and balance issues. Hearing loss can affect our spatial awareness and balance, making us more susceptible to falls and injuries. As I've already mentioned, loss of hearing can contribute to our social isolation. As our hearing loss progresses, we might have a tendency to begin to withdraw from social activities and engagements, which leads to social isolation and can contribute to feelings of depression and anxiety. So, what contributes to hearing loss? And again, we're talking about mild to moderate hearing loss. Most relevant to us, of course, is presbycusis, a gradual age-related hearing loss that typically starts around middle age and progresses through time. It results from a natural degeneration of the inner ear's tiny cells and hearing structures, as well as exposure to noise over time. It comes on gradually, and its first sign is when we notice some difficulty hearing or understanding high frequencies, that is, higher pitched sounds. So when high frequency portions of speech begin to drop out, letters like F, S, and the TH sound, speech begins to become more unintelligible. The first sign of my hearing loss was difficulty understanding television dialogue. Oh, not the clearly spoken speech of news programs, but movie and drama dialogue. We'll hear our panelists comment on this. Another cause of hearing loss is noise-induced hearing loss. Exposure to loud noises, either sudden or prolonged, can damage the hair cells in our inner ears, leading to hearing loss. It can be a result of occupational noise, recreational activities like concerts, fireworks, or other loud environments. If you think that the world is getting louder, well, it's not your imagination. David Owen, in his book Volume Control, Hearing in a Deafening World, NLS book number DB97532, a book which I strongly recommend, relates that many bar and restaurant managers exploit their customers' hearing problems by turning up the volume and tempo of their background music as the night goes on, both to drive away loitering oldsters and to encourage younger diners to talk less, eat faster, and drink more. Modern decor and design ideas, which include metal furniture, no carpeting, open kitchens, and easy-to-clean hard surfaces, very much contribute to higher noise levels. Another cause of hearing loss, especially for many of us, is medications and ototopic substances. Certain medications, like some antibiotics, blood pressure medications, water pills, OTC pain relievers, like aspirin and Tylenol, can have side effects that damage the inner ear. Another cause, chronic health conditions. Certain chronic conditions, such as diabetes and high blood pressure, can affect blood circulation to the ears, potentially leading to mild hearing loss. Earwax blockage. The accumulation of earwax in the ear canal can impede sound transmission and cause mild hearing loss. But cleaning the ears improperly can also push earwax further into the ear canal. Another cause, smoking. Smoking has been associated with an increased risk of hearing loss as it can reduce the blood flow to the inner ear and cause damage to the hair cells. And lastly, I do want to mention as a contributor to hearing loss, tinnitus, or tinnitus as some of you may pronounce it. It's that ringing in the ears that so many of us experience, and it most definitely interferes with our hearing. The one misconception regarding tinnitus that I would like to clear up is that while tinnitus is a hearing loss issue, it's not an ear issue. The root of tinnitus is in the brain. I do have to say that tinnitus is a topic unto itself, and perhaps it can be a topic for next year's conference. Before we devote the remainder of our presentation to the topic of hearing aids, which is currently the ultimate remedy for addressing mild to moderate hearing loss, allow me to discuss two other products which can help address two very specific problems which arise from hearing loss. The first difficulty is hearing television dialogue. As I mentioned, my difficulty to clearly hear television dialogue first alerted me to the fact that there was something a bit wrong with my hearing. When my wife Carol got tired of hearing me say, "What did they say? What was that?" I began to explore solutions. I tried a number of things, all kinds of Bluetooth headsets and transmitters, but the latency, that is the lag between what I was hearing through my Bluetooth headset and the actual sound of the television, produced a very annoying echo. But then Carol discovered in an issue of AARP the product TV ears. And for me, that has been a great solution. TV ears, spelled as one word, is a powered infrared transmitter which easily connects to any television with an audio output or optical jack, which just about every television does have. It broadcasts the television's audio to a receiver contained in a very lightweight headset. The headset has both a volume and tone control and a rechargeable battery. The headset is both stored and recharged by plugging it into the transmitter when not in use. There are several models, but I found that the most inexpensive model, a little under $100 on Amazon, worked well for me. The other issue that often arises with mild hearing loss is the inability to clearly hear a conversation in a restaurant, bar, or other noisy setting, but there is an app for that. Jonathan Mosen, on his Living Blindfully podcast, has, on a number of occasions, discussed the app Heard That, spelled as one word. He's also given a demonstration of the app and interviewed the company's founder. Heard That, produced by Singular Hearing, is an iOS and Android app which uses AI to separate speech from background noise. The app doesn't simply filter out noise or apply simple noise cancellation. Rather, it separates the speech of the person you want to hear and eliminates or severely reduces all the background noise. Here's how to use the app. While in a restaurant, place the phone on the table, don a pair of wired or wireless earbuds or listen through your hearing aids or cochlear implant connected to the phone, point the top of the phone towards the person you want to hear, start the app, and through the adjustment of a set of app controls, eliminate the background noise. Within the app, there are two controls. The mode control provides two options. Directional mode, the default, allows the user the option not to hear their own voice, while all voices mode enables the user to hear all voices from all directions, including the user's own voice. In addition to the mode control, there is the noise removal percentage control to eliminate the background noise from 0 to 100%. Heard That is a subscription-based app with a 30-day free trial period and a 30 free minutes per week after the free trial expires. The Heard That monthly plan is $9.99, and the yearly plan is $99.99, so the yearly plan gives you a 2 months per year savings. To get a greater sense of what the Heard That app actually does, you'll want to listen to episode 249 of Jonathan Mosen's Living Blindfully podcast at livingblindfully.com to hear the interview with Bruce Sharp, Singular's founder, and within the episode, Jonathan and his wife Bonnie also provide a live demonstration of the app. Now, get ready to take this down. Let me repeat the book recommendation I provided to you earlier. It's entitled Volume Control Hearing in a Deafening World. And it's by David Owen, O-W-E-N. The NLS book number is DB97532. Again, that's DB97532. The annotation reads, New Yorker staff writer demystifies the surprising science of hearing while encouraging readers to get the treatment they need for their hearing loss and protect the hearing they still have. Explores the possibilities of technologically assisted hearing, demonstrates that ears, whether they are working or not, are endlessly interesting. The book was published in 2019. Now, while we've talked about a few products to address specific situations as an assistance to those with mild to moderate hearing loss, we do understand that hearing aids are the ultimate solution. So, let's hear from our three panelists who will tell you about their own experiences regarding hearing loss and hearing aids. Most of you are familiar with them. Our panelists are Joanne Rath, who lives in the Lehigh Valley and is a member of the Lehigh Valley Council of the Blind, Lisa Salinger, who now resides in Harrisburg and is a member of the Keystone Chapter, and Michael Zakin, a Pittsburgher, who is PCB's treasurer and a member of the Golden Triangle Chapter. To discuss their experiences, I posed the same five questions to each of them. We begin their commentary in response to my first question, what led each of them to believe they were experiencing hearing loss, and I asked them to cite an episode or example. Joanne Rath.
I was finding over a period of years, I think, that in a large group or in a restaurant, I had great difficulty focusing on conversations. I could hear several conversations, but I could not hear exactly what was being said in any one conversation.
Lisa Salinger.
About 5 years ago, I started having some trouble hearing sounds and conversations. I had a little bit of trouble localizing sound, which means I was having some difficulty figuring out what direction the sound was coming from. This was something I was formerly quite good at, so I really noticed the difference. I also knew that what I was hearing was not what people were saying. I remember someone saying they really wanted some grilled Jesus, and needless to say, I was a bit confused and realized they said they wanted some grilled cheeses. The other area where I really noticed a difference was, and this was sort of the culmination, I was cooking, and things boiled over rather spectacularly 3 times in a week because I couldn't hear that they were boiling. So at that point, I looked for a facility in my area that could be of help.
Michael Zakin.
I had difficulty in hearing certain letters like B and D, P and T, M and N, V and E, Z and P. Also, it became a problem hearing people on the phone. So I got a hearing test and found that my upper frequency was down about 15%. Also, I experienced tinnitus in my right ear. It sounds like cicadas. So since my wife has been using hearing aids for over 30 years, it helped me to accept getting hearing aids.
I was curious to learn from our panelists what kind of model of hearing aid each of them had settled on and why. I also asked them if they would mind discussing the approximate cost of the model they chose. Joanne Rath.
I chose Resound Omnia. They do have more than one type. The ones I have, I can't say I'm totally sure which one it is, but it is one of the newer of that type because I got my hearing aids in November of 2022. The cost, I'm not sure, but I would say it's a couple thousand. I have health insurance. Some of that was covered I didn't get much of a choice from the audiologist. They mentioned like two or three options. One thing that was very important to me was that I wanted to be able to charge my hearing aids just like I do my cell phone. And, you know, I didn't want to have to take batteries in and out and all that stuff. So that's one of the reasons I got what I got.
Lisa Salinger.
The hearing aids I have are Starkey Livio hearing aids, and they were not inexpensive. Unfortunately, they ran about $7,000 for the pair. I knew that I wanted something that would connect to my iPhone because I do an awful lot of both talking and listening on my phone. I also knew that I really did not want to be dealing with batteries. I just figured that Murphy's Law would dictate that the batteries would die at the most inopportune times. And so I really wanted something that was rechargeable. And I think the fact that they were rechargeable added slightly to the cost, but I very much like the convenience of that. Basically, when I get up in the morning around 6:30, I put in my hearing aids and they are in all day, of course, with brief time out when I hit the shower, and they last through until about 10:30 when it's time for bed. Sometimes if I have an especially long day, I will get a warning that the battery is running low, but I need to store them overnight anyway, so it's just as easy to put them back in the charger. I know a lot of people who have battery-operated aids and often lose them because they don't put them back in a little case. Well, in my situation, they have to go back in a little case because they have to charge. So that's a nice way to keep it organized and save me from myself.
Michael Zakin.
The Oticon is the brand I've been using. I bought my first pair 6 years ago, and it was just the basic Oticon, and it cost me $4,500. 2 years ago, I upgraded to the Oticon More 3, which cost me $3,000, and it has Bluetooth. I bought those through Zip Hearing, which is an online provider.
I've come to understand that audiologists, the primary healthcare professionals who evaluate, diagnose, treat, and manage hearing loss and balance disorders, can play a vital role in assisting a patient in choosing, adapting, and adjusting to a hearing aid. So I asked our panelists whether they have worked with an audiologist and whether they found the audiologist to be of benefit to them. Joanne Rath.
I chose an audiologist because I didn't know anything about hearing loss and hearing aids, and my hearing is important to me, as it should be to any of us with vision loss. So I, you know, didn't want to do over-the-counter and just settle for something. I figured an audiologist would know about the products.
Lisa Salinger.
When I got my hearing aids, I went with a facility in my area, and they preferred Starkey, and that's kind of how I chose them. And I wanted, well, I figured that I needed to work with an audiologist. At the time, I wasn't even aware of options like Costco. Generally, I'm a researcher. And in this case, I sort of was not true to form. I wasn't panicked, but I kind of felt like, okay, this is my hearing. This is really important. So let's get someone who is a specialist to look at this. And she really was a gem. She was fantastic. She has since retired and I have since moved, but she had worked with other blind people. And I think that was really helpful because she understood what I meant about needing to hear where sound was coming from. And we did lots of tests with the hearing aids. We went outside. She walked around basically in a large circle, very quietly. I had difficulty hearing her steps. And then she would drop keys or clap or something, and I would point to where I thought the sounds were. And sometimes we did some hearing aid adjustment and sometimes not. The other reason I think it was really important to work with an audiologist is my hearing loss was labeled as mild to moderate. And she said that had I been able to see, she might not have even recommended I had hearing aids. But she felt it was important knowing how much I use my hearing. I always thought it was a rumor, that whole thing of when you lose your sight or when you don't have sight, that your sense of hearing is stronger. I always thought that was just kind of, no, it's not stronger. You just learn to use it better. And she said she did not feel that was the case. She had seen audiograms of blind people, and they definitely showed superior hearing. And based on what I described to her, that was probably the case in my situation. So it wasn't so much about where my hearing was now as it was she was anticipating the amount of loss I had experienced.
Michael Zakin.
Both of them, I went through an audiologist, but when I went through Zip Hearing, they assign you an audiologist who is located near you. So I've been working with an audiologist for the past 2 years with my current hearing aids. And he is very good because he comes to my house, picks me up. He's only, I would say, half a mile away. And he helps me adjust my hearing aids, initially setting it up, training me to use them, and making sure that everything is working to their best. When I got the hearing aids, I had 45 days to try them out to see if I really liked them. And it worked out that I really felt that they were the best hearing aids for me.
Today's digital hearing aids provide a host of features. Chief among them are programs. A hearing aid program is a preset hearing profile which allows for specific control of a hearing aid in a specific acoustic environment. So I asked our panelists what features and/or programs of their hearing aids are of most importance to them. Joanne Rath.
I like the fact that I can answer my phone when I'm wearing my hearing aids just by pushing a button on my hearing aid. I had some issues with Zoom, but I'm now able to wear my hearing aids when I'm on Zoom. The battery lasts all day. So my hearing aids are kind of like headphones. So that's a plus.
Lisa Salinger.
I have a few programs that are set on my hearing aids. I don't really switch into them much. I mostly use the normal mode for everything. There is I forget what we called it. We've changed profiles a couple times. There's one that I use sometimes when I'm in a restaurant, and it kind of decreases some of the echoes and also basically doesn't amplify any of the sound that's behind me. But mostly I would say I just use the normal profile. I like that I can cycle through them and they speak. When I change the volume level, I have tones to let me know where I am, and that's very helpful. And again, as far as features, I think the fact that it Bluetooths to my phone is a real plus, and the fact that I'm not always having to change batteries.
Michael Zakin.
The best features is, number one, the Bluetooth, where I can connect to my iPhone, and that way I don't need any hearing aids. My first pair of hearing aids, I probably used them 15% at a time, and my wife would complain I didn't have them in. But once I got the Bluetooth, it encouraged me to use them, since that way I didn't need to use earphones. Also, they are rechargeable. The batteries, you don't have to buy batteries. I recharge them every night. And they have 4 different programs I can use. There's a general program, which the audiologist set up. Also, there's a program for outdoors. There's another program for music and another program when I'm in a noisy room. The controls on the hearing aid are very easy to use. Also, there's an iPhone app that I can use as well to control my hearing aids. And the fact that I can make the hearing aids louder in a situation where it seems to be difficult hearing the person or hearing in a large room, like in church, hearing the sermon, I can turn them up when I want to. or if it gets noisy, like maybe the organist is really playing extremely loud, I can turn them down. So it's nice to know that you can adjust your hearing any way you want.
Lastly, I asked each of our panelists to comment on the benefits and drawbacks they've experienced in the use of their hearing aids. Joanne Rath.
Not hearing well is isolating. So having hearing aids just makes a big difference, helps me be involved in conversations easily. I did mention my hearing aids double as headphones, and I'm kind of going back and forth on drawbacks and pluses. There is an app that goes with my hearing aids. I have not used it a whole lot. It's not extremely accessible, but it is fairly accessible with VoiceOver. I did recently change audiologists, and it's interesting because prior to that change, I was turning the volume up and down on my hearing aids because I have that option. But when I went to a new audiologist, they changed things in the hearing aid to make the sound crisper. And I have found since, it's about 2 weeks now since I went to the new audiologist, I have not done anything with the volume buttons on my hearing aid. They're supposed to be a restaurant mode, and I used to try to use that when I went to restaurants. I went to a restaurant, and for the most part, I heard really well, even though it was kind of noisy.
Lisa Salinger.
I've had a lot of benefits from having hearing aids. I haven't boiled anything over, which is kind of nice. I feel like I'm back just about to my previous level of functioning prior to getting hearing aids. They had to go back for repairs, and I was without them. It was a whole long series of unfortunate events. They were moving buildings. It was over the holidays. So I didn't have them for about 2, maybe 3 weeks. And I was okay, but I struggled, and it gave me a new appreciation. I certainly couldn't cook anything and leave the kitchen. I had to stand right there and sometimes put my face down close so that I could hear. I still have trouble sometimes in really loud, crowded environments, especially when there are a lot of echoes or loud music. Overall, though, I'm very glad to have the hearing aids. Every once in a while, I have little blips. One will make staticky noise. They will sometimes, one will temporarily not work. And usually in 30 seconds, it's back, or I just need to restart it. It's really important to remember to keep them dry. I have gotten in the shower and been, quote, that close to sticking my head under the stream of water, only to remember that my hearing aids are in. That would be a very costly mistake. I do carry a little, not the hearing aid case, but a little case in my bag so that if I'm getting my hair cut and they want to spray, or if I get stuck in a really bad downpour, then I will take out the hearing aids. In a perfect world, they would be waterproof, but we're not there yet. I think also as a blind person, one other tip is it's really important if you have the manual dexterity to do it, to know how to maintain your hearing aids, to know how to clean them, and if need be, how to change the ear tip. Now, the filters can be a little iffy. Many sighted people don't change them, so whether or not you choose to is kind of one of those. Your mileage may vary with your comfort level. The tip is basically rubber, and it goes into your ear if you're wearing hearing aids that go in the ear. And, you know, that's another thing people talk about. Oh, they're so uncomfortable. I feel like something's always blocking my ear. I was really adamant when I got my hearing aids that I didn't want that feeling. And one thing you can try is ask them to use different kinds of tips. I started out with these tiny little rubber tips that hardly were anything. My current audiologist wanted me to use slightly larger rubber tips that are silicone. I'm not sure what they are, but they, I guess, allow you to hear more of the sound through the hearing aids and less through the environment. They would not have been good for beginner me, who was freaked out about having anything blocking my ears, but now it's fine. The filter, I'm not exactly sure what its purpose is, but you have to take off the tip to remove the filter. And generally, there's a little plastic tip that's on the opposite end of the new filter. I kind of like to get sighted help with that, even if I just do it with Ira, because you don't necessarily know if you've gotten the old filter out of the hearing aid and the new one in. So I think that is probably better. But I mean, if your tip falls off, it's silly to have to get an appointment. They're usually fairly easy to replace. Also, you can save yourself more appointments if you clean your hearing aids, if you just keep a dry, clean toothbrush for that purpose, and you brush especially the tips of your aids, it will help keep wax from building up.
Michael Zakin.
The benefits is clearer hearing, the fact that there's things that now I hear that I was missing in the past, and controlling how I hear, making things louder, changing programs, making things softer. I need no earphones when I'm using my phone. It takes some time to get used to them. I would say at least 6 months to feel comfortable with them. Careful not to lose them. They are so light, which probably is an advantage as far as you really can't tell you're wearing them. They hide behind my ear. But there has been times where I have lost them. But with the app, there's a Find My Hearing Aid, which kind of gets you in the direction of where you might have lost them. So it's pinpointed my hearing aids, like at home or in a public room where I lost it. I was able to pinpoint my hearing aids there and then found them. Also, when you go on a trip, you need to take a charger along. And probably the last thing is the cost is a little high, probably for a lot of people, but we're fortunate now that the cost keeps coming down. And when getting hearing aids, I would recommend to shop around, because ironically enough, the first place where I got hearing aids, I was going to buy the Oticon More 3s there, and I checked the price, and they wanted $5,800. Then I checked through Zip Hearing, and it was $3,000. I called back to the company and asked them why theirs were so much, and was there any difference? And they said, no, but we give you a lot more service. Well, I feel that with my audiologist that I have now, I couldn't expect any better service. I would say that don't fight with yourself when you're having trouble hearing. Make an attempt to investigate hearing aids, try them out and see if they help. The first pair that I got, they're still good. And I gave them to my sister, and the audiologist for nothing was able to adjust them for her. And she's been using them. So I really would stress, don't struggle with having problems hearing. Reach out and check out hearing aids, because you'll see how much better it'll help you to communicate.
To close out our panelist commentary, during my interview with Lisa Salinger, offhandedly I asked her whether she believed that attitudes were beginning to change regarding hearing aid use, particularly among the elderly population. She made several remarks during her response that I think you too will find interesting.
No, I really don't think that there's been much of a shift in attitude about hearing aids. I worked with a lot of clients when I was a rehab teacher. I worked for BVS for 12 years, and I had a lot of people who say, I had hearing aids and I don't wear them because they didn't help, or I didn't like how they felt. And, you know, it is an adjustment. I didn't like how they felt initially either. They really messed with my sense of space. The first 2 or 3 days, I walked around my house a little embarrassed to say, I'm sure I looked like the stereotypical blind person with my hands out in front of me, because it was doing weird stuff to my sense of space. And I kept feeling like I was going to walk into a wall, even though I knew logically there was no wall there. And it took a little time to adjust. The only person with whom I have regular interactions about hearing aids now is my 80-year-old father, and he finds them helpful when he puts them in, but it's just not part of his routine. And so family ends up being the bad guy that nags and said, Dad, where's your hearing aid? But it's so important. It's important, I think, for your mental health. They say that hearing loss can be linked to dementia if not treated. And, you know, I can't prove this, but I think your brain learns how to hear better with the hearing aids. For example, I talked about my hearing aids having to go in for repairs. Well, for about the first 3 days that I was without them, I didn't really miss them. I didn't start noticing the difference until the fourth day. Now, I imagine if I had a more severe loss, I would have noticed more immediately, but I think my brain compensates or compensated at least for a little while. Like I said, I can't prove it, but it was something I noticed.
Thank you, panelists. We have just a couple of minutes remaining, and our panelists have kindly agreed to take any questions you may have for them as hearing aid users. Again, our panelists are Joanne Rath, Lisa Salinger, and Michael Zakin.
I wanted to give you one more very important resource, and that is the book that is available through National Braille Press. I tried to find all free resources. This is $18, but it's well worth it. It's entitled, When Your Ears Can't Help You See, Strategies for Blind or Low Vision Individuals with a Hearing Loss, and it's by Deborah Kendrick. You'll remember she was our speaker last year. But it's a very good book, and it relates a blind person's adaptation. Do we have any questions for our panelists?
Yes, we do. We have Sherry Rogers is first.
Okay, hi. This is for all of the panelists. I've been wearing hearing aids since I was 5 years old. So my question, I guess, is, do you regret getting your hearing aid?
I don't regret it at all. It was a challenging time for me. In fact, my husband died the day that I got my hearing aids. So that's why I couldn't give an exact figure on how much they cost. But no, absolutely. Like I said, it's isolating. And, you know, to not have hearing aids and not be able to hear everything, I would do it again. If I can ask about TV ears, can you use them for anything besides TV?
I guess you could connect them to something else, anything with audio. I guess you could hook it to something else. But it's something that would have an audio source to it.
I have no regrets at all. This is Lisa. I have no regrets at all getting my hearing aids. Because my hearing loss was relatively mild, I mean, I was surprised by some things. I didn't realize I wasn't hearing some things, but I didn't have all these wow moments because my hearing hadn't really gone that far down the track. I was concerned. I knew the damage that hearing loss could do. So I was pretty regular about having my hearing tested. So I wasn't at a really bad point when I got mine. And one thing I think I really did to help myself and my own adjustment, I'm a little bit type A. So, you know, there's black and there's white, there's wrong, there's right, there's not much in between. And so when I got my hearing aids, I wore them constantly, you know, during the day. Like I said, the only time they came out is if I was showering or swimming. And I know that some literature advocates, oh, get used to them over time. Well, the people that I've talked to who say, I got these hearing aids and I spent all this money and I don't like them and they're in a drawer, they never did that. They never wore them consistently. And it is weird at first. You feel like you're going to walk into walls and your ears itch and you just want the darn foreign invaders out of your ears. But if you can kind of knuckle down and grit your teeth and just deal for a couple days, it really does get better.
And this is Michael Zakin. Yes, I am pleased that I have hearing aids. I've gotten used to them. And it provides the ability to, you know, increase, if you need to hear something, you can adjust it to increase it, or if it's too noisy, to lower it, or make another setting. And I feel that my hearing aids are small enough. It's really hard to detect that I'm wearing hearing aids. And it also adds that added feature when I'm using my iPhone. I don't have to use earphones or buds. I just use my hearing aids, and they play through my hearing aids through Bluetooth. So I have no regret.
I do have a regret, and that is that we are out of time. If you have questions for our panelists, and you can pass them on to me at tbswartz@ptd.net, I will make sure to get those questions to our panelists and have them get an answer to you. I want to thank our panelists. They were great. I think you will agree they were great with their answers and gave us some real insight into the use of hearing aids. And please don't forget the Deborah Kendrick book, When Your Ears Can't Help You See. Order that from National Braille Press. It's available in every format, large print, DAISY, Braille, so you won't regret it. Thank you, everyone.